We're going to be talking this morning here on the second part of this, or third part of this Moving Forward in Life series, the first part of the year. There is a place on your bulletins to write notes, so please try to find something to write with or get your iPads out. You can write there with your stylus as well. And all these things will be, I think, worth writing some things down, because God's already speaking very clearly to us in some directions here about His Word, about darkness, about light, about breakthroughs of bondages. All these things are contained in the message that God's giving us today. So please, I'm saying, have ears that hear, because the important thing is His Word is not going to return void for those who hear it, and hear it in faith, hear it in revelation, because God's here, I believe, really bring revelation to us. I'm going to speak this morning here on changing your world. I'm going to go to a very, very obscure place of the Bible for Scripture, and that is the book of Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1. All right, tongue in cheek there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read that in a moment here, because today is about those who may be feeling a little bit stressed in life, those that are going through some difficult times in life, or will have them perhaps sometimes as year goes by, some stress, difficulties may take place in your life. God is giving us, I believe, some tremendous keys this morning here by the Word of God, by His Spirit, to help us have deliverance from some things that have been long-standing, some things that actually begin to perhaps come upon us just this week. God is here. I believe the anointing of God is here strongly and mightily to break some things off some lives before this service is actually over today. And may God just have His way among us. Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says here, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Does anybody here have a problem with that? Amen. Praise God. In the beginning, God made the heavens and God made the earth. I know the evolutionists, they say things like from the goo to you by way of the zoo. But what God is saying to us is, in His Word, I made the heavens, I made the earth. In the very beginning, it was so. And I'm praising that God did do that, because when I see in nature, I see in astronomy and so forth, teachings like this, you'll find that our earth is spinning right now at 1,000 miles an hour. And by gravity only do we not fly off into outer space here. Our little ball called the Earth is about 93 million miles from the sun, rotating around the sun one time every year. We're a little bitty BB in a great big giant universe, and it's going to be taking God to sustain that, as far as I'm concerned. You can find yourself in the natural realm getting very terrified, trying to think about how we're just a little ball out there hanging by who knows what, by a thread, it seems like, rotating around a great big star. And for thousands of years now, we found ourselves doing that because God, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, says He sustains all things by His power. I even praise God for the air we breathe and for all the things God's placed around us to survive and thrive upon the earth. Amen? So wouldn't it be great, though, in the Bible, if the whole Bible began where God shows up and there's light and there's all a palette there, like an artist's canvas, it's all white and bright and airy and so forth. This is not so, though. We're going to go on ahead and read here in a little bit here and see how verse 2 goes on and says, "The earth was without form, it was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep." This sounds like a deep pit. This sounds like a hole. This sounds like confusion. It sounds like there's darkness all around. God chooses to take impossible things right from the very beginning of the Word of God and reveal to us and show us that though there's darkness and confusion all around us, when God shows up, there comes forth light, there comes forth order, there comes forth blessings, and there comes forth breakthrough. You might be going through a time right now where it seems like you're in a pit, you're in a hole, there's darkness and confusion all around you. But guess what? God knows all about how to solve and show up and bring forth miracles and breakthroughs right in the middle of darkness and holes and confusion in people's lives. Amen? So, let's read here now, right here in verses 2 through 4 and read this. It says, "Next of all, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided light from darkness." All of us here have gone through difficult things in our lives. Again, I said this morning, maybe even today you're going through difficult things yourself. I've had hard times myself in the past through death in the family. I've seen disease and sickness take place in our family. I've seen financial reversals happen. I've seen untwisted turns take place in relationships, things that were out of our control, out of our scope. out of our even recognizing it was even going to happen by surprise, things sometimes happen even in our lives that can throw real curveballs to us. But I praise God that God's a God who starts with darkness, but brings forth order and brings forth transformation out of that darkness. We're going to look now this morning at how to change our world. So I want you to write down these four things, these four take-home points this morning. Please try to write these down. Look at these things because they're actually in the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1 through verse 4. God gives us here very plainly revelation today for 2015, four things that God does to turn our darkness into light. You know, Cheryl spoke that word today again. We don't compare notes at all. Cheryl and I don't. And she said, I see God this morning. She's just speaking here, separating light from darkness. It's going to be one of the key points here this morning as well. But first of all, write down number one. What God does to change our world is God, first of all, connects us with the Holy Spirit. He connects us with the Holy Spirit. Notice again, the Bible says the earth had no form. The earth was void. Darkness covered the face of the deep. What a way for the Bible to start. What a way for God to begin the most precious book in the entire earth, the Bible, saying there's darkness, confusion all over the face of the earth. Notice also here, what to say next of all, and the Spirit of God hovered over the earth. It's good to see a conjunction take place, joining what is darkness and confusion and chaos into and the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the earth. This little bridge is there, the word and there, that conjunction there, that little word is a bridge that shows that from our darkest place, God brings a bridge to the answers to our solutions, whose name is the Holy Spirit. I'm believing God here again that next week, as we have a guest ministry coming through again for the first time this year, Keith Needham, we're going to see many people here that need it to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see also the Holy Spirit here move among us today, because the Holy Spirit really is here by power, by might, and by grace. And the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, only does good things for us. He never does anything that hurts us. He only has our best interests in mind because He loves us. Amen? And it goes on, and your Bible says, and the Spirit of God hovered. I'm thankful the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the second verse in the Bible. The Holy Spirit shows up. The second verse of the Bible. Some think the Holy Spirit is just like gravity, is some unseen force, or He's perhaps like Casper the ghost. He's totally invisible. He has no gender. He has no shape or form. He's like the Pillsbury Doughboy, just some kind of a force around us. But guess what? The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, and He is a person. When you go to heaven, you're going to see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is mentioned right here in the first chapter of Genesis. Let us make man in our image and our likeness. That's all plural there. When Jesus Christ got baptized in water, it says the Father showed up. He spoke in an audible voice, and the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus Christ in the form of a dove. And we see the Trinity present there, right there in the baptism of Jesus Christ in water in the New Testament. So the Trinity exists, and the Holy Spirit is not a it, not a thing. He's a He, a being. He is part of the Godhead, and He's here among us today to move powerfully in the way He desires as we let Him do that, okay? So very often, we don't connect with the Holy Spirit. You got to realize here that in order to know that there's power in this room, there are outlets all throughout the walls of this room. But you got to, first of all, take your socket and plug that thing in the socket. Take your plug and plug it in the socket to realize that there's power already here in this room. These plug-ins do no good at all unless something's plugged into them and energized and the switch is turned on, and then the toaster works and then the lights come on and then the hair dryer begins to whir once it gets plugged into the wall. You also must realize we must connect to the Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit, embrace the Holy Spirit, honor the Holy Spirit, not grieve the Holy Spirit, and believe the Holy Spirit is alive and lives in us and is here among us today. He wants to do great things here this morning. Let's just praise and give thanks and glory to the Holy Spirit here among us today. Amen. The Holy Spirit is here to comfort, to help. The Bible says to counsel, to intervene, but we have to connect with Him. In dark times, we can wonder if He's actually even there at all. Does He actually even love us anymore? There's sometimes where God withdraws from us as far as where the feelings go, the emotions go, and the goosebumps go. But it does not mean that God's really distant from us. It means maybe God's testing us, or God's trying to let us realize you cannot live by your actions or by your emotions. You've got to live by faith and not by your feelings. And so the Holy Spirit is still there. He still cares about us, but it seems like sometimes in life he's distant, not hearing us, not answering, not doing things in our behalf. As Precious Lisa shared this morning here again about her knee getting prayed for, God didn't perhaps heal her instantly, but she knows that she spoke the word, she believes the word, she stands on the word of God, so God is acting in her behalf. And what God begins, what God will complete for those who will not will persevere and not give up, in Jesus' name, amen. The Holy Spirit is not distant. He's not detached. He is right here among us. King David was going through a time that was very difficult in his life, being chased by Saul. His life's in danger. Look on the screen here what it says in Psalm chapter 139, verses 7 and 8. The psalmist writes these words down and says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the lowest hell, you are also there." There's no place we can go in the whole universe that the Holy Spirit's not at, that God's not at, because why is that? Because he made it. The Creator made the whole universe, everything that God's hand has touched, every place his word has gone out to make the universe, God is there. Amen? So that's good news. No matter what you go through in life, no matter how far you get away from God, God is there. I love what the Bible also says where I think it was actually David had banished his own son Absalom, who had killed one of his own brothers. And a woman who's wise, filled with God's Spirit in her own way back in the Old Testament times, she comes to David and says, God devises ways that banished people would come back to him when they go through times of trespass in their lives. God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. No matter how far away you get from God by sin, disobedience, unbelief, depression, or bad things, God will still be a friend, a little bit closer than a brother, and draw you to himself by his circumstances, by his word, by his dreams. God does that in God's way. Number two, second thing here about changing your world is, this is very, very important to write this down, and we're going to do this also today. Speak to your situation. Verse 3. Speak to your situation. In the holiness movement that took place back in the early 1900s, you got to realize that in America's history and around the world, there was a thing that was called Azusa Street in Topeka, Kansas, and also a place in California. Revival broke out. It was the birthing of what's called the Pentecostal movement. Folks were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Folks began to speak in new tongues, new languages. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God began to burn like fire among the church, because for centuries, folks had not received or not manifested the gifts of the Spirit in very any big ways at all upon the face of the earth. God shows up through people like Catherine Coleman, Amy Simpson McPherson, people again like Oral Roberts, people again like Coe, like John G. Lake, and people like this are all revivalists who minister the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as time goes by, these guys are being filled with the Spirit now in the early 1900s, but what's happening is the Holy Spirit starts putting his finger on things that are actually in their lives that he finds displeasing and finds will hinder them in their walk and growth and maturity with the Lord. And so he starts dealing with things like their appearance, their dress, their speech, things they watch, things they take in, their eye gates, their ear gates. And so from that there came extremes where folks started saying, okay, all people in the body of Christ, no lipstick, no makeup, no jewelry, no movies, no television, no bowling, no mixed bathing, no anything that's fun, but just do things out there that only is going to please the Lord according to what we think is pleasing to the Lord. And that movement, again, had extremes and excesses. So time goes by, and then comes a thing called the Word of Faith movement. The Word of Faith is about confessing what is God's Word. God's Word is powerful. God's Word is quick and sharp, more so than a two-edged sword. And it had talked about things like positive confessions, negative confessions, the power of life and death is in your tongue. And all these truths God brought to the body of Christ, but again, extremes took place. We find that as time was going by, folks started confessing for things and stuff and gold and recognition and fame. And God is showing us again today the balance of that whole thing is confession still is true. Confession still is powerful. Your words still do have might to them, but they must be matched with the will of God, brokenness before God, submission to God, and character to God before they're actually going to bring forth lasting life in your life. We had the charismatic movement beyond that as well. And all these movements had extremes to them, okay? What I'm saying to you guys is some of us, because the Word of Faith movement had some imbalances years ago, we have thrown the baby out with the bathwater and not realized that God brings to us things that will only bless and benefit our lives. So God knew that America and the world in the early 1900s needed holiness, needed brokenness, needed repentance. And so God worked in those ways upon the earth. God also knew that people needed to once again realize that we live by faith, and there is faith, and faith is powerful, and our words do matter, and our words have got life and death in them. And so I'm saying this morning here again, the second thing that God says in creation is to us in verse 3, then God said, let there be light. This is the first time in the Bible where it says that God said. What God is saying to us is, speak to your situation. God gave us the ability to have a language and to speak with that language. We're the only creatures on the earth that have a language to speak out the things that God wants us to speak upon the earth. You say, well, my dog speaks. You know, we have two dogs. Both of our dogs talk. They say woof, woof, woof to get in the house. They say woof, woof, woof. They want to take and go out of the house. They say woof, 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 and they're happy we're home. And they whine and cry when they want to say they love us. They'll get in our face, and they'll lick, and they'll say, ah, I love you, I love you, I love you. That's what they're saying to us. So all dogs can talk, and even porpoises and whales can click, and things can talk around us in some way, but it's all base instinctual things. They cannot quote Macbeth. They cannot give philosophical arguments and renditions and sermons and things of this nature here. Only humans can reason and talk and give speeches there and convince masses of things that are important upon the face of the earth. So God said, let there be light. There is actually power in our voice and power in our speech. And God gave us His image, His likeness is what we're made of. He gave us speech to create things on the face of the earth. Your tongue and your mouth are going to have to get involved with your miracle, or your miracle is probably not going to happen on the face of the earth. Your tongue and your mouth must get lined up with your miracle, help produce that miracle as well. You got to start speaking the promises of God into your darkness. All of us here know who Joel Osteen is. Joel Osteen's mother, his name is Dodie. Dodie, back in 1981, was diagnosed with liver cancer. The doctor in Indiana she was going to told her, you have 2 months to live because your cancer has done a real hard word. It's something like metastasized. And it says you only have 2 more months to live. Dodie, I was told, drove home and cried the whole way home, knowing the natural report says there's no hope. The cancer's gone too far. You have 2 months to live. What did Dodie do? Dodie wrote down 42 healing verses and began to quote those verses for 1 hour every day. She put a picture of herself in her wedding dress on her wedding day on the wall of her bedroom. She would look at that picture in her perfect health, prime of lifetime, and speak those verses over her body about her cancer, that it could not live, it must die in Jesus' precious name. 2 months went by. Dodie's not dead. And Dodie's getting better. 8 months goes by. She's vacuuming. She's getting stronger and stronger. And finally, after 10 years went by, her doctor declared her healed and healthy. God healed her body. God made her healthy in life. Now, 30-some years has gone by. The doctor's dead that diagnosed her. Dodie is still alive with Joel Osteen in the biggest church in our country. You see here again, she learned and showed us, the body of Christ, like many folks have done themselves also, that you must speak out the promises of God over your darkness, over your void, over your dark thing. God shows up by the speech of His people that lines up with His will and desires for our lives. God has said that this morning in this service. We've got to start speaking out to the problem. Speak to the mountain. Command that mountain. You must crumble in Jesus' name. And I refuse to accept and receive this disease, this sickness, this poverty, whatever it may be there anymore. This thing must go. It takes more than one prayer, one day, one week, one month, but by persistence. God's word does not return void, but it will accomplish everything that God wants it to accomplish. Amen? Catch that this morning. God is speaking that to us so strong today. Get connected to the Holy Spirit. Speak the word of God over your situation. And then get some verses and speak them over your darkness, because your mouth is like a magnet that draws either good things or bad things to it in your life. How many folks realize and know that if you take and throw some orange peels, banana peels, and old cookies on the floor of your kitchen and leave your back door open for 2 weeks, you're going to find fire ants and spiders and scorpions and cockroaches all over your stuff as due time goes by, because bad things are magnets to bad things. Put out some fresh flowers in your kitchen. Leave your windows and doors open, and what comes in? Butterflies and good bees. Amen? If you want to have good things attracted to you, I'm saying speak out good things by your words and by your mouth. Your words are a magnet for either good or for evil, for darkness or for light. That's why God says, choose life. Let your words be full of grace. Let your word be full of perfume. Let your words be words of life and not death. In Jesus' name. You need to catch that, because God said that so far in this service already at least two or three different ways. It's for someone here this morning to catch that and receive that and grasp that and do that. Okay? Number three, next thing to change your world is you've got to separate from darkness. Verse 4, separate from darkness. Cheryl mentioned this today when she was speaking from Isaiah chapter 43. Genesis chapter 1 verse 4 says, and God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. If there's any area of our lives where we've allowed Satan to take and encroach in that part of our lives, God is saying that darkness must be replaced by light. You must yourself, by an act of your own will, separate darkness from light in your life. There's things in your life that may be lack of integrity. It might be moral issues. It might be things there to do with junk like depression, discouragement, insecurity, rejection. These are all realms of darkness that God says those things must come out of your life, be replaced by the light of the Word of God, and know that God's for us. He's not against us. He's a God that speaks to darkness and brings light where there's been darkness in your life. Understand that. You must tell the devil, you are leaving my life in this area. That darkness will not dwell in me any longer, but I declare that I am a child of light. Ephesians chapter 5 says we are children of light, walk as children of light, and the fruit of light consists in all goodness, in all righteousness, in all truth. Be children of light is what God says to us in His Word. Integrity is light. Integrity is light. Integrity has to do with lying. When you go to a court of law sometime, what do they tell you to say when you put your hand on the Bible? They say, I swear to tell the truth. They don't stop there. They go on. The whole truth. They don't stop there. They go on. And nothing but the truth. Now, why do they make you say it three ways? Because there are so many ways to lie. Yeah. Amen? And so for three different ways there, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, God. They even say at the very end there, without God's help, I can't do this. I'm going to lie unless God helps me, okay? And so what God is saying to us here is, integrity means my words are truth, my words are life, my words are light, and I will not speak lies with God's help and God's grace, so help me, God. In the realm of morals, we're going through a whole lot of moral failings around us. We're being baptized in filth every day in our country, by the airwaves, by our computers, by the internet, by billboards, by TV ads. There's this moral filth all around us all the time, and I'm saying it to you guys again today, let's not buy into moral darkness in these last days. You know, the book of Revelations talks about the things that people God spared for different things they did not do of darkness. One thing he said there was, they did not get involved in sexual immorality. They kept themselves, it says, pure from women. And so it says, those in the last days will have great temptation to do things that are sexually immoral and have all kind of perverse things take place in their lives in the last days. I'm saying, learn some of what God's Word says about adultery, about fornication, about things that are homosexual, and see what God's Word says about that, and speak the Word of God over temptations you face in your life whenever you find yourself being drawn towards immorality in your life, okay? Because temptations are all around us all the time. And folks that are running, losing weight don't help out a bit. Amen? That's just a little side deal. No, I'm proud of Cheryl, and I know that she's looking better and better and feeling better all the time. Amen. Moving on. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says this. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "And what communion has light with darkness? Wherever darkness is at, light will flee. Wherever light is at, darkness will flee." There's no communion between light and darkness. With attitudes, issues, also you might find that darkness comes in by bitterness, by anger, by unforgiveness. We've been dealing with that the first part of this year. Don't let anything from 2014 carry through to 2015. There's been things of broken relationships, broken friendships, being stabbed in the back, going through offenses. Let all those things go through the cross of Jesus Christ. And remind yourself that Jesus Christ said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Let's choose to walk in forgiveness this year. Let's choose to forgive even before folks offend us. Let's choose to walk as people of uprightness and not get involved in bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, and wrath and vengeance in 2015. These are all things of darkness, and light dispels darkness to us. When you turn over a great big rock in your backyard or a brick or a big board that's been there for weeks or months, what happens? All the cockroaches and spiders and centipedes scramble for cover. All the things of darkness can't handle the light. When you turn things over, darkness has to flee at the speed of light. Amen? And good grass takes the cockroach's place and spider's place in due time with the proper nourishment. Okay? Maybe God is saying to you again this morning, says, turn some stones over. Let's turn some boards over in our backyards. And let all those creepy crawlies get out of our lives, out of our hearts, and bring in the light, and bring in some growth, and bring in some good grass by God's help and grace. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let's read what it says here. 1:26 says, "Then God said, let us," notice that us, "make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." That means we even have dominion over snakes and worms and all the creeping things on the face of the earth. We connect with the Holy Spirit, first of all. We then begin to find what God's promises says about our darkness, number two. Let me go ahead and beyond that. We start separating light from darkness, number three. These are all the basic things to do. But the fourth thing here, number four, to change your world, all important is this. And that is the words, take dominion. Take dominion. You know, the Bible says that the earth suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. When God released in the 1990s what's called the spiritual warfare movement by folks like Larry Lee, folks like Maurice Cirello, people again across our nations like Dick Eastman and so forth, it was because God loves us. Because God knows the battle's coming, warfare is going to increase, my people must understand and realize who they are in Jesus Christ. And realize again, they must take dominion over the powers of darkness in these last days and not let Satan just walk all over them, lest they find themselves defeated before Jesus Christ comes back. He's coming back for an overcoming bride, powerful bride, spotless bride, a bride that is overcomers with God's help. Do you realize the greatest gift that God has given us besides salvation is a gift of dominion? That is the greatest gift God's given us. Because by dominion, all the things like sickness and disease and so forth must bow the knee, because we realize who we are and what God's Word says by His Spirit. Let's break this down for a minute. This word dominion, it means rulership, it means authority. You might want to write that down. Dominion means rulership, and it means authority. God gave dominion, the Bible says in Genesis, to Adam. He said, all the plants and animals, the grounds and so forth, all are given to you. Here's the keys of the world, Adam. Adam sins, and by a legal transaction, gives over that dominion to Satan. He's called the prince of the power of the air. Jesus Christ comes 4,000 years later. He's being tempted by Satan in a 40-day fast. And he finds himself on top of a mountain. And the Bible says that Satan shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says, all these kingdoms have been given to me. I give them to who I want to give them to. If you bow down and worship me, I give them now to you. Jesus Christ, notice here, did not argue one bit and tell Satan, you liar, these aren't yours. That's a bunch of hogwash. What Jesus Christ says, I'm going to worship the Lord my God. Him only will I serve and worship. And at that point, Satan leaves him, the Bible says, for an opportune time. The good news is Jesus fulfilled all righteousness. He gave himself on the cross to die for our sins. He went into the heart of the earth for 3 days and preached liberty to the captives. He was raised to life on the third day. He conquered death and hell and the grave. He took the keys from Satan. And he said, all authority has been given now to me, and I now give it unto you. Freely you have received, freely give. Bind, loose, preach, do the works of God. It's called the Great Commission, not Great Omission. And what God is saying to you and I is, the man Jesus Christ gave mankind the keys back. We're now taking dominion over the powers of darkness. We've got to realize that that takes us acting, speaking, obeying, and being under the authority of God to see dominion take place on a lasting basis for us, okay? Dominion. So we need to get a hold of this thing today, or else Satan's going to appear bigger than he is. Satan is much smaller than we think he is. Amen? Satan is defeated. Satan is going to be a foe. When we see him face to face one day, we're going to say, is this the one who shook the nations? Is this a little skinny runt that I've been afraid of all these years? Satan is very, very small in the presence of the Lord. And that's why the psalmist David says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Praise and worship will magnify how big God really is. Doesn't make God bigger. God's as big as God is. It makes God bigger in your eyes. You start seeing God the way God really is. I believe right now there are angels in this room that want and desire to minister to people in this congregation things of breakthroughs. And I believe that God's going to do that today also by his might and by his power. When we leave this place today, may God be God and bring forth his grace. The first three steps here I mentioned are prerequisites. They're foundations. But the understanding and concept of dominion will totally change our lives as Christians on the earth. Look at how Joshua in the Old Testament was actually himself a person that says, God said to him, every place your foot shall tread has been given unto you. And the Bible says that Joshua goes out and conquers five kings. They're sealed behind a stone in a cave in a dark place that's formless and void, darkness all around them. When the battle's finally won, Joshua comes back and rolls a stone away, and they bring the five kings out, and they lay them on the ground, and Joshua takes and puts his foot on their necks, and then he strikes them and kills them. I think he cuts off their heads, and they hang their bodies somewhere on display to show these five demonic kings, their power has been broken, their authority has been stripped from them, and my foot is on their necks. The word dominion comes from a word in the Hebrew language that's actually for the foot. It's for the foot. It actually means to tread upon. To tread upon. Dominion actually means to tread with your foot upon. Every place your foot shall tread has been given to you with God's grace. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus Christ says, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and tread upon scorpions. Nothing shall by in any means harm you. How many toes do we have on our feet? Most of us have five. Now, back in the Old Testament, some had six, but nobody here has that, I don't think. Most of us have got five toes. Those five toes stand for those five demonic kings that God wants to take and crush today in this place, in Jesus' name. We're going to go now at the last part of this message here on these five toes, these five kings that God wants us to tread upon today, and believe that victory comes in our lives in these areas from this day forward by the Word of God, the power of God, and by God's grace here among us. Let's go ahead and look at these. The first one, the first toe is your big toe. This big toe is the word guilt. Guilt. Guilt's a big demon. It's a big demonic king around us. It's a voice that speaks in the back of our brain. It says things like, you know what you did 10 years ago. How can God ever trust you or use you today because of all the sin you've done in times past? You might even sometimes even see your own children because of neglect, because of things you did as an unbeliever to them or through them. You think there's things in their lives out of whack now because of what you did or did not do to them years ago. And God is saying there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That as far as east is from the west, your sins have been forgiven and taken away from you. And there should be no guilt take place also in your lives. It makes you look back at where you've been instead of where you're going in life. And that's not what God wants. Cheryl read Isaiah 43 today. Forget the former things. Think not upon the old things of the past. They're like water under the bridge. A Christian spirit-filled man one day, a businessman, was driving to Houston, Texas on Interstate 10. And on that drive, he had a Big Mac in his hands full of pickles and mustard. One of the pickles, baptized in mustard, fell out of the hamburger onto his lap. At 65 or 70 miles an hour, he looks down on his lap because there's all kinds of mustard now all over his pants. He looks down and examines his wallet, wiping himself with his napkin. When he looks back up again, there's a semi-truck coming right at him almost head-on. He'd crossed the median and gone to the other side of traffic. He quickly jerks the wheel back, and by the grace of God, God saves his life. There's no wreck, no crash, no head-on collision. His life is saved, and he pulls to the side of the shoulder. He stops, and he breathes heavily and says, thank you, God. He said, to my amazement, God spoke right back to me, and he said to him, listen, the windshield in front of your face is far more important than the pickle in your lap. That's what God said to him. The windshield in front of your face is far more important than the pickle in your lap. And what God is saying to you and I is, get the pickle out of your brain. Quit examining the pickles of your life to stain your clothing and look out the windshield ahead of you at the path that God's called you to run in your life. Amen? We're worrying too much about mustard and pickles and Big Macs and not enough about the semis coming at us head on. Our nation's got a semis heading right at it head on. We need focused, clear thinking, anointed people in the body of Christ to get their eyes and face upon Jesus. And see what God wants for this nation, not just about the little things, mundane things of life that bug us, perhaps, around us. So tell guilt and tell condemnation, I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Number two, second toe is disease. Disease. There are 12,000 known diagnosed diseases in the world today. And Satan wants you to get every one of them. 12,000 diagnosed diseases. The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. He was also wounded for our transgressions, for our diseases. He's been paid the price for that for us. And what I'm saying to you is the good news is, of all those 12,000 diseases, God has healed every one of them in somebody's body in the last 100 years. Amen? Now the truth also is, many folks who get prayed for don't get healed. That's true of Oral Roberts' ministry, Catherine Coleman's ministry, Joyce Meyer's ministry, Andrew Womack's ministry. All these guys will tell you very, very, very quickly, not all folks I pray for gets healed, but many do. And they say that we found the key is you must persevere and not give up. When you get hands laid upon you and prayed for, if you don't find your manifestation take place that hour, that season, that day, it is time not to get discouraged and despair. It is time to press on, thank God, see what God's Word says, do what Doty did, and say, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. I'm saying find your 42 healing verses, and don't you give up. God has paid the price through Jesus for every disease, dis-ease on the face of the earth. Amen? Number three is the word bondage. Bondage is alcoholism, it's drug addiction, it's pornography, it's anger, it's selfishness, it's greed, it's gambling. These are all bondages. And I love that song we sing that says, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. God is here today prophetically to break bondages, I believe that, off people's lives by His Word, by His Spirit. Speak that word that says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. And I am the temple of the Holy Spirit, and no foul thing shall rule and reign in my life. In Jesus' name. Number four is the word weakness. Weakness means you feel like you can't make it. You feel discouraged. You feel despondent. You feel passive. You feel depressed. You feel like suicide, like Elijah the prophet sometimes. These are demons, weakness, that lie to you. They come in by circumstances. They come in by beating you down. They choke you out little by little sometimes, like Leviathan or like Jezebel. These are things that work against us to bring weakness, not strength, to our lives. The Bible says, speak to weakness and say, when I am weak, He is strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm above only, not beneath. I am the one who is owned by Jehovah Nissi, my banner of victory. His banner over me is love. He's my victor. Speak words like that. Number five, last of all, is the word poverty. Poverty. The devil wants you to make you so broke, you can't even pay attention. Did you hear that? Or you weren't listening because you couldn't even pay attention. He wants to make you so broke, for you old timers that are here, that you squeeze your nickel so hard the Indian rides the back of the buffalo. Isn't that good? Those are old timers. Satan wants you always in debt. He wants you always behind. He wants you to always have too much month at the end of the money. And Satan, you can look at Haiti, who said years ago, we will give our nation over to voodoo if you'll just rescue us from the French. They made a pact and covenant with Satan to make voodoo their national religion years ago. They are the poorest nation in the whole entire Western Hemisphere today. Almost no fish in their oceans, no trees, no vegetation, no economy. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants poverty in your life. God wants abundance. God wants sufficiency. God wants you to be blessed in all ways in your life. Remind the devil, I'm a tither. I'm an alms giver. I am a giver of offerings. And I have got all of my needs being met according to God's riches and glory through Jesus Christ the Lord. And I will be a person who's blessed, not cursed, upon the earth. We're going to do right now some, not calisthenics, but some aerobics. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to do some aerobics here right quick. We're going to follow Cheryl's example, not run. But we're going to take and we're going to raise our feet in a moment. We're going to take and put our feet on these five kings today. And give these five kings a great hi-yah. One at a time. One at a time in Jesus' name. And then go from there, okay? So right now, let's speak to this thing called, this first one here that's called guilt. Guilt. Let's take our feet right now, raise our feet up, put your feet on the neck of guilt right now and say, hi-ya! In Jesus' name, no guilt in my life, no condemnation, no more bondage of the past of guilt in Jesus' name. Number two, disease. Raise your foot right now, put your foot down upon disease, hi-ya! In Jesus' name, all disease, all sickness, be broken off my body, leave my body. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I shall thrive, I shall live out all the days of my life, and my life shall not be cut short by disease, and I receive no future disease, I receive no bloodline disease in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. The third one here is bondage. Let's raise our foot right now to bondage and say, hi-ya, all bondage be broken. In the name of Jesus, I have no alcoholism, no addictions. I'm not hooked on pornography. I'm not hooked on depression. I'm not bound by anger. I'm not bound by things that rob me in the future. I say all bondage be broken off of me in the name of Jesus. Number four is weakness. Let's take weakness right now, raise our foot up, and say hi-ya to weakness. I am not weak. I am strong in Jesus' name. I am called God's child. I am called the one who marches in valor and power and victory and might. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. When I am weak, He is strong in Jesus' name. Last of all, number five is poverty. Let's raise our foot right now to poverty. Put our foot down. Hi-yah! In Jesus' name, I am not broke. I am not impoverished. I have no lack in my life. I say debt is broken. I shall find myself having money at the end of the month. And I shall find myself blessing others. I'm a tither. I'm an alms giver. I am one who gives out offerings in the name of Jesus. And I praise God. He blesses me in so many ways. And it shall be so from this day on, more and more in Jesus' name. Let's all sit down again, please. I'm going to ask James to come back to the platform. He'd do that. Help me out here with just some light playing. Isn't that good? I'm saying it takes time sometimes to stand up, stand your ground. The Bible says you've done all you can do, stand therein. Every place your foot shall tread, dominion means tread with your foot, has been given unto you. We've seen God in our family take rebellious, our own children sometimes going through seasons of rebellion, seasons of bad choices. Because of prayer, we've seen God turn their hearts. We've seen God change their circumstances. We've seen God loose jobs and blessings to them. We've seen God give them guidance. We believe our two daughters have the right husbands, one in the future, in a few weeks here. Because we're praying, have been praying for spouses. We're praying for our oldest son as well. Right choices, right mate, right education, okay? All these things are things we've seen God does for us, for them, for you folks as well. But here at the close of this service today, we're going to take and ask the question, is there anybody here, if we can back up to number one there, which is called guilt, that you feel today in your own life, in your own heart, there's guilt that tries to rule and reign in your life in so many ways, reminding you of your past. You want to see that thing broken off your life. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning for privacy's sake only, I want to ask the question today, do you really believe that God loves you? That God is for you, not against you? Do you believe that God really took all the sin you've committed and removed that from your life when you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you also say today that, Pastor Mike, I can't even remember the time I asked Jesus Christ to come inside of my life for the first time. I'm not even sure today if I would die and see God face to face, that He would say to me, He knows me, because I've asked His Son to come inside of my heart and life to forgive my sins and be my Lord and be my God and be my Savior. If you're like that today and you want to receive prayer, that all guilt, all condemnation, all doubts of my salvation, your salvation, are going to be today forever settled, that you are saved, you are born again, God does receive you, God is for you, not against you. If you want to receive that assurance today, would you raise your hand right now, just real high, just raise your hand if you're like that this morning. If you want to see all guilt, all questions erased, praise God, praise God. Let's all stand to our feet one more time again. I'm going to lead this entire congregation into a prayer, and you had your hands raised up. I want you to pray this prayer when we pray it together as a congregation, not to embarrass you or single you out. I want you to think about what you're saying. Because what God is saying to us today is, this is a day of breakthroughs. It's a day of bondages being broken. I want to see today religious bondages broken off your lives. You might have lived a life where you were raised in a church or denomination that says you must work out your salvation. You must try to work out pleasing God. God is saying that lie must be broken today, because there really is no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ the Lord. Let's pray together as a congregation. Let's pray these words together. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I thank you that I am saved by faith through grace, not by works, lest I should boast. Today, Lord, I receive Jesus in my heart, in my life, in my circumstances. And I say, Father, take control of my life. Live in my heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. I say today, I belong to you. I say all guilt, all condemnation must leave my soul, leave my mind. It has no place in me. I also say, anything religious, be broken off of me in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, O God, this day. I am free to be a servant of the Lord in Jesus' name. Let's just give praise and grace and thanks to God right now. Give Him thanks. Give Him praise for who He is. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus.